I think we're going to have a Bible reading. I'm not sure who's reading it. All right, Sarah.
The reading is taken from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into a blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
This Sunday, last Sunday, we were looking at one of the parables of Jesus, and we know that Jesus often used parables or examples from daily life just to explain how God works in the world, how God's kingdom works. And last week it was Joe who was leading us, and we were all earth or soil, if you remember. And then there were some birds. Yeah, there were sort of live birds, not live birds, but sort of models of birds. And then there was, what else was there? Oh, it was the sun. We have to use our phones as the sun. And then there were bin bags that were supposed to be the weeds, things that sort of stopped the seed from growing. Anyway, that's what we had last week. And I think the point that was making is that the good seed, the good news of Jesus, is sown in our hearts, but how we're like different sorts of soil. Sometimes it flourishes. There are other things that make it not flourish or just not work at all. Now, this week, we're doing a slightly different parable. But I'm really pleased we've got this, that first parable, because I think Kai and Crystal's not here, but it's an important step that you've taken today, and it's a bit like the good news of Jesus, like a seed has been planted in Madison's heart, and it's your responsibility, privilege to care for her, love her, that she may understand that God's love for her is just totally unconditional. No holds barred sort of love. And you've taken this step for her today, but in due time, we hope and pray that she will make that her own. I also had to say something about the kit that the godparents have, because 3 years ago, my daughter was married, and all the best men had pink shirts and pink ties, and dad of the bride also had pink ties. So I felt at home when I saw what you were doing. So let's look at this story. Very simple. Farmer sows good seed in his field, and he's expecting, it's the best I could find, he's expecting seed to germinate, grow up, and turn into wheat at harvest time. That's what he's expecting. But what happens is there's an enemy who tries to sabotage his crop, and the enemy sows weeds, presumably at night when no one's looking. And so what happens is the good seed starts growing, the weeds start growing. And the servants are really surprised because they knew that only good seed had been planted. Okay, left slide or right part of the slide? One is wheat and one is the weed. They reckon it was something called darnel, which is a sort of, it looks a bit like wheat, but actually it's poisonous. So if you reckon the wheat is on the left of the slide, stick your hand up. If you think the weed is on the right of the slide, stick your hand up. Oh dear, so the servants had a bit of a problem there, didn't they? They couldn't tell which was which. And I think that's part of the point of the parable. Good and bad start off looking quite similar, actually, and then it sort of reveals its colours a bit later on in the game. Actually, the wheat is on the left, and the darnel is on the right. And believe it or not, darnel, if an enemy or an adversary sowed darnel in someone's field, it was a punishable offence in Roman law, which I didn't know about. Probably you didn't either. So it was a real-life story, this. And then what happens? The servants say, okay, weeds been planted. Should we just uproot them? And the farmer says, no, don't do that. Because when you're dealing with the pulling up the weeds, you're probably going to damage the crop as well. So he says, hang on. Wait till harvest, and then the harvesters will deal with the weeds first, and then harvest the grain later on. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that quite challenging to understand, because I'm not the farmer. Has anyone here had experience of planting wheat? Oh, thank goodness one person has. Thank you, Brian. Brian can give us a lesson on what to do and what not to do. How many of you are gardeners, keen gardeners? Or maybe not so keen gardeners. So we can sort of understand, can't we? We don't get much of it, we get a bit of it. But what came to my mind when I was looking at this, we went away for a couple of weeks, came back, and my front grass was pretty much incinerated by the hot weather. But there was a plethora of dandelions growing, which doesn't say very much for my garden, does it? And in the past, I've done exactly what you expect me to say. In the past, I said, okay, I'll take up this dandelion, pull up the roots. Actually, I usually lose a bit of the root. And of course, up comes a bit of grass as well. So that I'd imagine that's what the farmer was concerned about, damaging the crop. I went for a walk near Wilton this week. Beginning of the walk, past a massive great combine harvester just sitting in the field. On the way back, saw that the combine harvester was doing its stuff, and it was you know, steady pace. And alongside it, there was a tractor with its trailer going just alongside, you know what I'm going to say. And every now and then, an arm would come out from the combine harvester and squirt out the grain into the trailer. Anyway, that's how I understood this parable. Now, fortunately for us, Jesus did a sort of interpretation. so we can get a better idea of what on earth he's talking about. Now, this is quite stark, this stuff, but let's see what he says. He says, the sower in this story is the Son of Man, or Jesus. Jesus is the one who sows this good seed of the good news about the love of God. And the good seed, actually, it's the people who receive that good seed, take it on board, and sort of go with it, as it were. But there's the other side of the story. And the enemy who sows, in interpretation, it's either the devil or, if you don't want a personal devil, forces of evil. And the weeds, or the darnel, are people who go with whatever comes, really. Go with evil, stuff that isn't going to do anyone any good. Now, actually, I think it's quite nice that we've had this baptism today. Do you remember though, there's three questions: turning away from stuff, which is bad, and turning to Christ, to good. We all have that choice, don't we? Which way are we facing? That direction or God direction? And then just to finish off the interpretation, the field that's sown, sometimes people just say it's the church. Well, I think it is. The field is actually the world. It's the whole everything. So this seed is planted everywhere. And then the harvest, it's when God's going to wind things up, end of time. And that's time when there's going to be separation. I don't know about you, but I think it's very black and white, this, isn't it? Good seed, bad seed. It's quite black and white. But I think what is absolutely clear, that God's in control of the start of the process, the sowing, but he's also in charge of the harvest, when he's going to sort things out at the end of time. So beginning and end are absolutely clear cut in this story. But say in between, as stuff is growing up, there's this sort of conflict really, isn't there? Between good seed, bad seed, good, evil. Now, I had to do this because I was watching World Cup last night. It's one thing, isn't it, when you're watching England play live, and you're really on tenterhooks, aren't you, till the very, very end? Are you not with me on that? We're always on tenterhooks because we don't quite know if it's going to go one way or the other. Yeah, and it was a bit like that last night. It really was, wasn't it? It looked like it was cut and dried, but it wasn't in the end. But it's different, isn't it? If you know already what the result is going to be, maybe you don't know the scoreline, but you know they're going to win, watching is a very different experience, isn't it? You can relax, really, can't you? And you can enjoy, well, not always enjoy, but you can enjoy some of it because you know the outcome is secure. And I think that's a bit like that for us following Jesus. The beginning is clear. The end, God's sorting it out, the coming of his kingdom in its fullness. That's quite clear. But I think if we're confident of that, it just gives us a bit of, we can relax a bit because we know the end is going to work out. Now, I just want to finish with two moments in that story. The servants, do you remember, they were surprised. They knew good seed had been planted and there was the darnel that came up as well. And I think that's important for us because sometimes we've started something that's good and then somehow it gets compromised. And it goes off the rails, and it turns out actually to be really not good at all. And I think that's really important, to be realistic about the powers of evil at work around us. And, you know, it may be a personal thing, it may be in your family, it may be at work, maybe stuff that you see on the news. We should not be surprised by the force of evil. But then I just want to look at this last thing. It's just quite extraordinary advice that the farmer gives. What does he say? He says, don't pull up the weeds, let them be until the harvest time. Now, I think that's you know, we understand why he says that. Don't pull up the weeds because it's a danger of spoiling the crop. It depends on you as a character. Are you one of these people who says it and does it straight away? Or are you someone who's a bit more cautious and sort of lets things happen? Who's a says it and does it person? Oh, hardly anyone. Oh, just a few. Oh, I'm surprised. Oh, there would be more than that. Because I don't know about you, I've had experience in my life when I've said things and done things which I thought was going to help, and it's not helped at all. There's been sort of collateral damage. Have you done that? Said something or done something, and it's actually not worked out well. So I think it's really the point. It's for wisdom to know when to speak, when to act, when not to speak and not to act, to hold it in. Now, I think it's clear. If I see something, if you see something in your own heart that's not good, that's evil, get on with it, deal with it. You don't hang on with that. You deal with it. You go to God, say, look, this is the case. I'm really sorry. I want to turn away from, clean me up. Okay, that's one thing. If you see evil around you, well, it's praying, should I say something, do something, or not? And that's really praying, not rushing into things. Now, this is a bit dangerous, because it may be that some of you today are facing a situation when you are completely blocked in. You just don't know what to do. You're sort of entrapped, if I can put it that way. Or it may be you're facing something, you know something's happening, and you want to say something, do something. Well, all I'd say is, let's talk about it with other people, talk about it with God, and see when and where you should act. I think it's really important not to be discouraged, because the end of the game is in God's hands. He's going to sort it out. And as it says in that reading, God is going to weed out everything that causes evil and all who do evil as well. Now, just to finish with, if there's something you are concerned about, there'll be opportunity for prayer afterwards. If there's something in your own life, something in someone else's life, you're not sure whether to act or not, do take the advantage of prayer. I like what Jesus says to start off with after each parable. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let's say that together a couple of times. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And I pray that we will be able to hear today and act.
Let's just take a moment. For some of us, that might mean closing our eyes. For some of us, it might just mean chilling out. But I'm a great believer that when God's word is preached, and thank you for that, David, that God speaks to us. Can I just say, don't worry about the children, they're fine. This is about God. two things. I just had a real sense that that God wants us to come as little children. What that means, for some of us, it's just walks and all. Just as we are. And the second thing is that for some of us, I want to pray that God would give us the courage to turn away from something and to turn to Him. And I'm going to pray that second one now. Heavenly Father, I pray for some of us here today. We each know in our hearts. And I pray that you would give us the courage and the wherewithal to turn away from whatever it is and to turn to you, knowing that you are a loving Heavenly Father who loves us, blesses us, gives us good things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue in prayer. We live in a world where there is conflict, tension, war. We cannot escape it. We want to continue to pray for the world, knowing that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Father, how we need you today. How we need a move of your Holy Spirit across the nations of the world to bring healing, forgiveness, and peace. We pray especially for the Middle East and other places in the world where there's terrible conflict. We also pray for our own nation, and we thank you for our King and Queen. We pray for the change in government and all that that might mean. But we pray that we as people would be ruled justly and fairly, and that our leaders would turn to you for guidance, support, and help. And we pray for ourselves. We thank you for the baptism that we've had today of Madison. We pray for Kai and Crystal, that their home would be full of the love of Jesus, that Crystal would know your amazing love and your amazing peace. We pray for also for anyone who's sick. Sick in any way, mind, body, or spirit. We pray that you, loving God, would wrap your loving arms around those who are sick. And finally, we pray for ourselves here. We pray that something of the love of Jesus, because we're all created in his image, we are all created in God's image, something of the image of God would shine from our lives and our hearts and touch others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to finish with the Lord's Prayer. I hope it's on the screen, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Going to invite the worship group to come back, and I think in a moment the children should be joining us from their groups. As David said, if anything today has touched or impacted our hearts or lives, there will be a prayer ministry group at the back, a couple of people who see it as their privilege to come alongside you and pray with you. So can I ask you to stand, please?
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, from the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, to the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the heart.